Right, right. Hey, everybody. Just a moment. We are just about to start. And this is Winfrey. And why am I hesitating? Because I have to start my tape recorder. Just one moment. Here we go.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
This is Monday, April 30th. My name is Winfrey. And welcome to our Monday night conference call.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
Conference call, telecast. And those of you who are listening to our call regularly, which we know there's many of you out there, this call is unusual, although we have made the unusual very usual on this call, because we communicate with sources that, in the process called channeling them oftentimes, where we talk to a source that identifies itself by the name the Elohim and the Ra group. And the Elohim makes the claim, and we've asked them many questions about this, that they created the physical universe. Now, that's kind of a big deal, talking to an intelligence that created the physical universe. And I always tell people, don't believe that they are who they say they are. Learn about it by how they answer questions and their intent and why are they communicating to us. And is there something that we can learn from them? Both understanding about who we are, how we got here, what life is all about, and what is the benefit of communicating with a voice that says they created the physical universe. Well, I constantly have reiteration that they are, in fact, who they say they are.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
And many of you have heard the story and heard it umpteen times. The only reason I tell the story so much is because it causes people to pay attention. It's hard to get people's attention in this realm. People are occupied, they have their lives, their families, their jobs, their struggles, their traumas, their challenges. And if you're communicating with the source that created the physical universe, there has to be some benefit to you as a person. It could just be a curiosity. Oh, there they are. But ultimately, if it's going to stick, it has to mean something. It has to change your life, contribute to your life in some way. And many of the people that are listening to this call and have listened to these calls regularly have had life-changing situations, circumstances. They've gone deeper. They felt connected. They became more loving. They had a synchronicity where something happened that may not have happened otherwise. And there's not that many people out there that are communicating with the Elohim. And even in a narrow margin, there's not that many people that, even when I think somebody's communicating, that I would bring them on this show, because so often, when you're in front of the public and when you're getting attention, people compete with each other. And that's not a good energy. You know, those of you that have heard our caller record calls know that there's no competition between Carla and myself. We respect each other and honor the work we're both doing. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I was browsing the internet, and I found on YouTube, and you guys are welcome to look this up, a series of 12 videos where it was introduced that this person was channeling the Elohim on those videos, and they were giving a message to us, or to people on the video. And I listened to some of the messages, and I said, it does have a resonance with the source that I've been talking to. And I looked at the name of the person who was doing the channeling, Rebecca Jernigan, and I remembered that in 2004, when my book came out, or when the book came out, it's not my book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, I was on an internet radio show called Journeys with Rebecca, and with the same Rebecca Jernigan who was channeling the Elohim on these YouTubes. And I didn't know she was channeling the Elohim. She never said anything about it on her website. And maybe she did, but maybe I didn't see it. She never said anything about it on the radio show. And, of course, at that time, I never said anything about it. Even though I was having that experience, my book had come out, and I wasn't talking about the Elohim. I was apprehensive about talking about it. I said, I'm already wacko enough writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and to bring in me talking through two women, a source that identifies itself as the creator of the physical universe, I thought would take my credibility and run it through the mill. So we had an interview, and then I called Rebecca, and we connected, and I told her a little bit about my Elohim story. She told me a little bit about her Elohim story, and then I said, why don't we do a session and just feel the resonance of it, which we did. And those of you that got the email today will see two links to that session we did, which I don't even remember what we talked about, but I do remember it had the same feel and resonance of the source we talked to on this call. Now, keep in mind that if you paid attention to this work and listened to the channelings, each person that channels the Elohim sounds different because it goes through their matrix, their thoughts, their structure, and it becomes connected to that person's individuality. So, for example, Daphne sounds very much different than Terry. Although, if you pay close attention, you'll see the connection. And I would say Rebecca sounds different than both of them, maybe a little bit more like Terry than Daphne, but nonetheless, there's a resonance. So we're going to explore that on this show. Rebecca is my guest tonight, and we're going to discuss her experience with the Elohim. And I don't know if she often does that publicly. She has on her radio show, she's had so many famous people from David Icke to God knows who. She's been doing it for 10 years, and she's taken her role to be a presenter of different people that have something that she feels is valuable to offer. So, Rebecca, how would you like to introduce yourself? That was my best shot.
Well, thank you for that. Wynn, as always, you're always so gracious and kind in your introductions and your explanations. So thank you very much for that. I'm not sure that's kind of a loaded question on how to get started here. You and I have spoken, and talked about, you said that you were introduced to the Elohim, I think, in 2002 or something like that, yes?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, they have always been the voices, kind of, as it were, that has always been there. Some people might attribute this to, you know, having an angelic guide, but Elohim have always been with me. It's always been the same one. When I was a very young child, I actually did not know that other people did have the same experiences that I did. I just thought it was the way everyone was. And through my growing up and from my childhood forward, I really realized that those that were with me at that time, by the way, I did not know that they had a name. You know, they've just always been with me. And I never thought to ask them, truly. I mean, it's like looking at your mother after all those years and say, well, what's your name? I mean, you always identify her as mom, right, or mother.
So
you don't necessarily ask her what
were you able to call their
mom by their first name. So they were always with me. They've always been my mentors. They have been my teachers. I haven't had any physical teachers in this life cycle. I haven't had any that I have went to for mentoring or for teaching, kind of a thing, the way that a lot of people do. They have always been my teachers, and they've been very, very succinct with me through the years. If I ask them a question, they will answer me whether I want to hear what I think I want to hear or not. So, you know, they're very honest. They tell you like it is, at least for me they do, when I ask for my own, you know, individual curiosity, whatever questions, as I'm out there trying to figure out what's the meaning of life, kind of a thing. So they've always been with me, and it wasn't until the early 90s that I actually set and channeled them. Some of the experiences were what you would call organic. In other words, I just sat down and I stepped out of the way, not knowing that that was the process that I was actually going through. And I would come back a little while later, and there would have been people standing there looking at me, and their information was quite astounding. I have a friend of mine that's recorded a lot of the old channelings that I did, and it was pretty profound as we've been sitting here going through the information again after all these years. I did do some channeling. I'm here locally in Kansas City. I did do some channeling here locally for quite a few years. And I moved out of the area back in the late 90s. And when I returned in the early 2000s, I did not channel publicly. And that's where the radio show thing came in. But getting back to the Elohim, it was in the 90s when somebody asked me who it was that I was actually communicating with. And, you know, like I said, I never even thought about it when. I never thought to ask them who it was. And I was doing energy work. We used to have open houses. I had a store. And we used to do these free healing sessions on people, energy exchanges, actually. And they came in the middle of this as I'm working on this person who's laying down and running energy, and they said, "We are the Elohim." And they were so loud that I really thought that everybody else could hear them. And it's always been the same voice. It's always been the same energy that I've felt since I was a young girl. And I asked them to repeat it again, and they said that I needed to look them up, and that which was written about them isn't necessarily all that they are, and that I would come to know more about them. I needed to do the research. So that's what I did. I began to research. I asked people, do you know who they are? I had a lot of people who put me in different directions. Some of it resonated. A lot of it did, according to, you know, books that were written or how they were expressed or what have you. And I think you yourself would agree, and maybe not, Wynn, but I think you yourself would agree that their dimension to them it's far greater than that which has been written about them, you know, about who they are, how they interacted, and what their actual history is for, you know, as it pertains to us here as human beings. So
they're usually exalted in history. And,
yes.
You know, people defer to them, think of them as omnipotent, as God. And,
right.
I mean, as I got to know them, I got the feeling that, in fact, I asked them the question, and they said, no, they don't like to be worshipped. And that they're as real as you and I, and they exist in other dimensions, and they have abilities that are not like yours and mine, at least in this dimension, abilities to interface with our realm in rather unique ways. And they have the ability to help shift things in this realm. But they say that they honor free will, so I mean somebody has to ask for their help. And you can see how easily that can turn into the idea of an omnipotent God, because we all need so much help, and we can feel helpless and say, Elohim, please help us, and that becomes a prayer, so to speak. And that's okay if you use the word prayer, but they're not in any way, shape, form, from my experience, God in the way that most people think of God. And they're rather playful, and they're loving, and it's hard to imagine how it feels to be them. Have you ever tried to imagine that, Rebecca?
Yeah, it's like what you expand and expand and expand, trying to kind of see what they see from their perspective, and how do they feel about it, and you just can't get there from here. I guess that's the best way of saying it.
Yeah. I mean, when you try to... It's hard to imagine what their awareness is like, because...
Oh, yeah.
We have no reference point for that kind of awareness.
Right.
I mean, I can only reverse engineer it. Like,
right.
Like, thinking of them, well, you know... Here's how it feels. Wait a second. It looks like Terry is here. Terry?
I'm here. I'm on the line.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm looking for you. Rebecca, we have Terry on the line.
Hello, Terry.
Yes, I'm enjoying this.
You're enjoying this. So over the course of this call, we have two people that are talking to the Elohim, and this is going to be really interesting as... Now, I do believe both people are talking to the Elohim and the same source. I do believe that from my initial indications. But I tell everyone on the line that just because someone says they're talking to the Elohim or they're talking to Jesus, don't believe it until you do some due diligence and investigation. One of the things about the Elohim and the Ra group is never, ever do they disempower you or me in questions. In fact, those of you who are on the call, even though you've come back over and over again, there's never, it's not like you're following something, although from the outside somebody would say you're following that. You're just showing up, and what happens is what happens. And my goal, which I've kind of succeeded in, is to create... I was talking to somebody, you know, to create myself as being this corny host who makes a safe spot and a comfortable spot so they can come in and not have to be in any level of pretension. And that's a pretty rare thing to do. Those of you that are listening to these calls over and over again might go back and remember how amazing it was when you first started to discover that we're doing this so casually. We don't have any fanfare, no ritual, no no big deals, and yet the most extraordinary things happen on these calls. And Rebecca, you were talking to them. Even when you were young, could you have dialogues with them? They just said, Rebecca, do this, or what do you think of that?
It wasn't dialoguing like that. It would be simply my mind would question, or I would look out at something, and I would think, like looking up at the night sky, that's a really good example, and looking at all the millions and billions of stars out there and thinking that we weren't alone, and they would begin conversing with me, because even in the statement there was a question, you know, because there's this curiosity. And they would begin to expand on that curiosity by giving me pieces of information, allowing me to kind of, if you will, in a conscious way, travel outwards and view the world from the cosmos as opposed to being on the planet Earth looking up, and would, you know, share explorations of space, as it were, our universe, in a visual manner, and allow me to pull those visuals back in and conceptualize it, and then begin to ask questions from that which I was viewing.
Mm-hmm.
So that happened everywhere. I would if I was standing someplace that used to be really, really strong when I was a kid, I'd be standing outside and I would be barefoot, and I could feel these vibrations going through Earth. And I would always wonder, what was that, you know, the question that you ask yourself inside of your head, and go, gosh, what is that? And they would just come in and start giving me pieces of information. And even as a young child, I knew about underground bases, even though I didn't have any reference point to what that meant. And I was viewing underground bases all over this globe when I was a young girl. And I realized that there were different beings in different parts of this globe that we weren't familiar with. I had no life at that
point.
But
was it like, there's a phrase called remote viewing. Was it like you were able to remote view?
Yes, that's exactly what it is, and I didn't come to understand that term either until actually fairly recently, what remote viewing was. But that was an organic gift or talent that has been with me since I can remember. So it was pretty amazing. They'd take me under the sea. I would have these extreme dreams at night, lucid dreams. I was a lucid dreamer even as a child. And in these lucid dreams were different worlds that I wasn't familiar with that was here on this planet, and was shown and communicated with different types of beings and things like that. I mean, this has just been an ongoing story, being able to look at somebody and know that they had attachments and they had different energies about them, and understanding the individuation of each of us as a soul, and understanding that we're all connected to all things. I mean, you know, of course, as years go, that expands and expands according to your own level, your own frequency, your own vibration, what understanding that you have, what your life experiences are. So as they say, the older you get, hopefully the wiser you get, you're able to apply the knowledge in a more expanded way than from the viewpoint of a small child.
You know, I know Terry will tell me that, say, for example, on our grid healings, you were on the grid healing on Sunday, and
yes,
when we put something in the light, and then Terry is being with the Elohim, she says, I'm going to let her say it, but I'll say my take is she says that when they go somewhere, she goes with them and can see it as if it was her seeing it with them. Terry, is that approximately correct?
That's correct. And what happens then is I feel like if there's an interchange going on, I have to be very, very quiet so that I don't enter anything into the interchange, because sometimes it's covering very delicate circumstances.
Mm-hmm. And so Rebecca's experience is kind of like yours. There are similarities to it. But you didn't have voices in your head when you were young, did you?
I had some, like, that would say things like, I'd ask a question and then the answer would come like, do right and you shall fare well. Something like that.
Uh-huh. So you're getting kind of cryptic answers to questions that you were formulating.
And right.
When you were, you know, the way it, some of you may know the story, but when I was with Daphne and she was channeling the voice that said they were the Elohim, and for a good portion of the time it was just her and me, and I wanted somebody to witness this, so I called Terry up, and I knew Terry was open to this, and in fact we had talked about it. But she came over to our apartment, and we did a channeling, and I asked some questions, and they were answering the questions. And then Terry, I said, Terry, would you like to ask any questions? And why don't you share what happened?
I really loved their energy, and they said that, yes, I would be able to be able to channel that.
And then it was about a month later that Terry came over and they knocked her on the head. We
it was like tap, 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 like knock, knock, knock. A slight tapping pressure on my head on the right side.
And they told Terry to wake me up, that they wanted to talk to me. And Terry said, why don't you just talk to me? He's sleeping. And they said, no, we want to talk to him. And believe me, when she woke me up and said, get the tape recorder out, I thought this was nutty. This was totally impossible. I mean, I had washed my hands of the experience after Daphne left, and I said, well, that's that. And then a month later, Terry is telling me they want to talk to you. They're still wanting to reach you.
It was so very important to them.
Yeah. So it's been a wild ride ever since then. And when did you first telling other people that you had these guys talking to you? And what happened, Rebecca?
Well, first I guess I need to let you know is that when I was a young girl, I would say something about people, you know, like my aunt got married and she lived in a different city, different state, and she and her new husband come to visit. And I am about 5 years old. And so they introduce me to this man, and my mom says, well, go give your uncle a hug. And I said, well, I don't want to. And she said, you need to go give him a hug. And I said, no, I don't want to. Why not? And I said, because he's a bad man. And they're looking at me. I got my mouth slapped for that. And she said, what do you mean he's a bad man? I said, that's what they're telling me. They told me that. And so after getting into trouble for saying that's what I heard, that's what they told me, I was pretty careful about not saying that kind of stuff anymore because I knew it was going to get me in trouble because nobody believed me. And as a matter of fact, when I got a little bit older, there was these conversations that my grandparents were having with my parents. They thought I probably had multiple personality disorder because they would just start talking, you know, and I would say these things and people would just look at me in their eyes. I wouldn't know that I said anything. I didn't say anything. They did. And they would just leave the room. They couldn't even talk to me. They didn't. I mean, I freaked people out. It was actually, you know, I look back at my childhood and it was actually quite astounding. So I learned how to communicate with them and told them, I said, you guys can't be doing that. You're getting me in trouble. So, you know, it's been a developing relationship all these years. And, of course, as I change, you know, they change and, you know, they communicate with me on a different level. And you know, we've kind of grown together. They've really, you know, I have to say they've always been with me. And I've known, and even in my deepest, darkest hours on this planet, that I was never alone. There was times when I didn't want them to talk to me, but they refused to let me do that because it's part of what I agreed to do, just like anybody else. And we all have our contract, so to speak, when we come in. And this was part of my contract, and I had to honor that. I had to take responsibility, and I had to accept it. And so I have. I've done the best that I could with it. They have never served me wrong, ever.
Now, a question that comes to my mind is, what happened when you had a boyfriend?
Well, that part there was the rebellious child. They didn't want the parents telling me that I made a bad choice.
So you were making bad choices in boyfriends, right?
Well, you know, that gets into a whole different arena. You know, we're all here to clear past traumas, past emotional difficulties, issues. Some people call it karma. I call it the cycle of reincarnation. We keep getting into these loops where we have to have these experiences over and over again because we don't realize that our record is broken and we just keep playing it out until we figure out how to break the cycle, how to break the wheel of whatever negative emotional personality kind of things that we come in with. You know, this is how we heal ourselves. This is how we become whole, how we become happy and well-adjusted, is by letting go of the cycle, the reincarnation cycle, as far as the negative experiences that we've had with others that continuously show up in our lives over and over again, life cycle after life cycle. And so that kind of gets into a whole different kind of aspect there. There's some things that you have to play it out in order to understand what kind of a cycle that you're in. What is that? And you can't necessarily just bypass the experiences. They can tell you about it, but until you experience it, you don't really know how to break those cycles. Now, that's in the energies of when I was growing up. The energies now, as you're probably aware of, Wynn and everybody else on this call, we're in a very heightened state of energetic cycles. This whole universe is, dimensions around it is. This is a very, very auspicious time for those of us here on planet Earth. And we're here to tap into that energy, and we can now cycle through things that no longer serve us, things that are trauma, and we heal timeline after timeline after timeline, and we can break those emotional bondages through these life cycles of reincarnation over and over again in order to become higher frequency, higher vibrational beings, and to create, actually literally create a new paradigm is how this Earth was actually kind of getting closer back to the original blueprint, as it were, of its original intention.
Now, did you ever have a conversation with someone else that was communicating with the Elohim before?
Have I ever had a conversation what?
With someone else who was communicating with the Elohim.
No.
You know what? I think I should shut up, and I should let you and Gary talk to each other, see what comes up. Because I think it's unique. Gary, you have anything you want to ask Rebecca, or vice versa? I'm putting you all on the spot.
It's it's just a profound, wonderful thing to be able to find somebody else that can speak with the Elohim.
You know,
I have a huge echo to everything I say, though, and it's very disconcerting when I say anything.
Yeah, same here. I have a terrible echo from my end as well, Terry.
Yeah, when you're coming across here, you have no echo, and maybe I have no echo when you listen to me.
That's right.
Right?
You know what? Let me mute the conference call. I don't know if I did that, okay? Because sometimes that creates an echo. Just a second.
All callers are muted.
Okay. No, I still have an echo.
You still have an echo.
Yeah. Let's see if I do. I still have an echo. But it's not as bad.
Right.
Okay. Well, maybe it is as bad.
I think, Ren, it only happens to Elohim channelers.
Hyde cannot resist getting his 2 cents in. Hyde is my producer. He comes in and helps greet everybody on the call. And he got the job because one day I was late, and he did it. And he never stopped to talk.
All right.
We really appreciate him.
You bet.
But in any case, okay, you guys are supposed to be talking to each other now.
Okay, well, I'd like to respond to what you said there, Terry, is that as I was growing up and, you know, went through my adulthood, I did what I called scanning, and I would scan for others. I thought, surely there's others out there that are communicating with these beings or with beings, period, right? And I could sense this was before I got really good at being able to follow energy lines. That didn't actually happen to me until the 90s, till the early 90s. And I would scan out there, and I would, every once in a while, I call it dropping down. It's like this energy grid of everybody that's on this planet. And then it would just kind of drop down into a geographical location just momentarily. And it was to let me know that, yes, there's somebody here, there's somebody there, there's actually quite a few people, but not every one of them are going to step up or step forward, nor were they meant to be channelers. They're simply part of the kind of collective, if you will, that is, you know, in this spiritual kind of energy, I guess, for the lack of a better way of saying it, and they live their life according to the energy of the Elohim. They're not all meant to be channelers. They're not all meant to be in public, but there is a few of us here on this planet that are incarnated. They did show me that. And so, you know, I was pretty young back and then when I did that. And I remember just thinking how at peace I felt that I wasn't really alone on this planet. You know, because it's like, gosh, am I the only, you know, cow amidst all of the sheep, right? Surely there's got to be a cow out there somewhere. And I'm going to tell you, patience was never, ever one of my virtues in this life cycle, never. But working with the Elohim all these years, there's just this sense of knowing, and there comes this peace and this just comfort. And you just know that when the time is right, that there will be others that you will find, or they will find you. Somehow that divine process will happen. And you just don't think about it. It's just this sense of knowing. And you move forward in your life, and then it shows up, and it's just like they said it would be, or it's just like how it felt to me. And so I have to tell you, I'm pretty excited. And, you know, it's not the first time that people have come to me. I've had some people that have written to me over the past, even after I started the show, because when I first started the show, I did talk about the Elohim a lot. And then once the guests, I really started getting a lot of guests, more guests than I could even get on the show. I had, you know, not as many openings as I had guests. The channeling information, the information about the Elohim, kind of went to the wayside because it was all about, you know, the guests being on. But that being said, I would have people that wrote to me, and they would send me, like, emails or links or whatever to different websites or to different blogs. At that time, they didn't call them blogs in the early portion of the Internet when it first came out. And there wasn't a resonance there with me. I was like, well, that doesn't feel like who I'm communicating with or I'm associated with, in which they who call themselves the Elohim to me. So I haven't truly up until, and in 2004 when I spoke with Wynn, he talked to me a little bit about the Elohim, and I remember them saying, just wait for it. And I didn't know what the heck I was waiting for until, of course, I got a phone call from him a couple of weeks ago. So there's that.
Yes.
Well, I think it's a really special thing to be doing this right now. I think, you know, one of the things is in the average person's mind, the average person would say it would be impossible to be communicating with the Elohim. And my job, as I've taken it on, is to make that actual, not only a possibility, but a reality, and to create this comfortable space where we have hundreds of people listening to these calls, and it's become a reality to them. And I've observed carefully what the kinds of benefits are from connecting with the Elohim. And I think the most powerful thing is that, aside from being an intelligence that can answer questions, they have the ability, and when I said this way before, they corrected me. I said they have the ability to project energy into this realm. And I think it's more like they're not sitting somewhere and projecting. They're just there, and it's like tuning into the frequency of them.
Right.
And it's not like they're somewhere else. They're right next to you, as
right.
are a lot of other beings right next to you, including negative beings. So it's a matter of learning how to select with your remote control the frequency that you're going to allow to come in, and that they're right next to everyone who's listening right now. They're not
right.
far away. They're right next to you, and they're an energy, and can you tune in to their frequency? Shut your eyes for a moment and feel the space. Notice if it feels different than it normally feels. And consider the possibility that the difference in your space right now is this very same Elohim that we're talking about. Except you're not a channel. It's just like handing somebody a guitar. And they have the instrument, but they don't know how to create the words or the music. But they know the guitar is in their lap. And so, even without being a channel, when you start allowing them into your space, there's a clearing that starts, a healing that starts automatically. And to understand how to cope with that healing, how to ride with it, get the maximum out of it. Does that make sense to you, Rebecca?
Absolutely. I mean, their energy is everywhere. I mean, we're sitting in it, literally. I mean, their energy is everywhere, and it is. It's like tapping into a radio wave, tuning your radio station so that you can hear, see, feel, sense, communicate, otherwise understand that they're here. And in the presence of them, when I really sit down and tap into them, there is such an energy that flows through me that is indescribable. It's this love energy, a peace, harmony, balance, protective. It's all of those things. I can't even describe all of it. And take you on journeys. I mean, seriously, you ask them a question, you'll be off running, tripping around in the cosmos in some other dimension. That's what you want to experience. You're fabulous. I'm grateful. I'm humbled. I'm honored. I feel blessed. But the one thing I have to say is very big. Paul, you talked about it. They do not wish for anyone to venerate them or to prophesize themselves before them, because they consider us in the highest regard, no different than them. We're just existing in a different frequency in this physical form.
Yeah, that's what they told me too. They don't want to have us look at them as being better than us. It's just like we're brothers and sisters. Although they don't have a particular gender. It's like their family.
That's right. Because they are.
Yeah.
They are family.
You know, I don't know if anyone that's listening has questions, but I'll open up the conference call. It's okay. If no one has any questions, I'll just close it off again.
But, okay.
All callers are unmuted.
Everyone's unmuted. Anyone have a question for Rebecca or a comment?
It's okay, you guys.
Going once.
Don't be shy.
Is anyone feeling the energy of what we're calling the Elohim in their space as we're talking?
Rebecca, all I can say is wonderful to listen to you, to hear your story.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Beautiful.
Now, I'm going to ask a question, and you guys can say yes or no, okay? Is anyone on this line? We're not going to know who you are, though. This is a little test to make sure someone's there. Is anyone on this line shy to say something?
I just can't think of anything to say.
Is that Chris?
No, Steve.
Steve. Oh, hi, Steve.
Yeah.
That's Steve Starbucks.
Yeah.
All right.
I just don't have a question in my head right now.
Well, that's fine. Sometimes you don't have to have a question. How can I say it? It's just like putting your frequency on there. It makes us feel like someone's actually out there. Anyone else have something they don't want to say?
All I can say is this is very awesome for me.
Who is that?
Don.
From John?
From Florida. Don.
Oh, Don. Hi, Don.
Hi, Don. Hi, Wynn.
Yeah. You know what? I think by doing things, I will tell you that in my experience, when they started talking to me through Daphne and through Terry, my conscious mind couldn't believe it. I mean, no matter, I didn't believe they were. I couldn't believe, even when I thought they might be who they said they were, my conscious mind said, I must be making a mistake. There must be something wrong here. It was too wild, you know. I mean, with Daphne, she would tap me on the shoulder, and she would say, those guys want to talk to you again. And no matter where we were, I mean, in the most inopportune times, we just go, I take the tape recorder out, I'd be asking questions. And I said, this is not how it's supposed to be. This is way too casual. And and I really, it took me about 3 years to say, maybe they are who they say they are. And that was my experience. But anyone else want to share anything?
Yes, I'd like to ask a question.
Is that Lisa?
Yes.
What's your question, Lisa?
Well, Rebecca, did you say how long you've been chanting? Channeling. Two words that mixed up. How long have you been channeling the Elohim?
Well, literally all my life, but I didn't really do it in a conscious way until 1992.
Okay.
Where I'd actually sit down and they call them in and step aside. I had a lot of organic, what I call organic experiences, where I would just simply, there'd be a group of us, we'd be sitting around talking, and I myself was gone, and they would step in, and they would have these things to say, and then I would be back and wouldn't even speak. I wasn't in the intention of channeling. It just happened. They were very good about doing that in those days, and they still do that. If I'm in a group of people, and I'm very comfortable with them, they just speak, and they'll say something to those, and they'll address people. But as a conscious channeler with intent, I didn't start that until about 1992.
Now, when they would slip a word in edgewise, people thought it was you, correct?
Yes, those that did not know me very well would think it was just me because the voice doesn't change too much.
Mm-hmm.
There's a different tonal quality to it. But for those that were really good friends of mine that know me well, they will know during the course of the conversations where they just kind of, you know, step in, say a few things, and step back out. They do that even now.
So you're saying that happens spontaneously?
Yes. I call it organic, but spontaneous is the appropriate word, yes.
Okay.
Kind of weird, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, because you give me all these little memory lapses. I thought maybe there was something wrong with me because I couldn't remember conversations. I say, well, you remember saying that? No, but it sounds pretty wise, so it probably wasn't me.
Yeah, I think that's the experience that also where sometimes they'll come in. Like I was having a telephone conversation with somebody, and they said, you know, it sounds like you're channeling right back. And it's like they were. It's like they were coming through right then. And then sometimes I don't remember the conversation.
That would be their operata.
that's one symptom. You don't remember the conversation.
But no.
Yeah. Do you notice how all these people have overcome their shyness and they're speaking up?
I love it.
It wasn't that hard. You know, I mean, we have a group of people that have, you know, participated, and I have to say, I can't give the people that come into these calls regularly enough acknowledgement because they are anchoring the reality that makes the calls real. This is an us. It's not a me and a you. It's always an us. Now, we're not always in the experience of the us, but so often in these calls, we do move into that experience. And when we move into the us, consciousness. It's like you guys, even in silence, are making it possible to do this. It's really unprecedented. in this realm, to have such a casual interface in a public way with the Elohim, where it's not like, here is the Elohim, let's get on our knees, what is great wisdom do you have for us? And they always bring it true, like they're our brothers and sisters and our friends, not like, as Rebecca was saying, prostrating ourselves. But it's hard for people, even myself, when they first started talking to me, what am I supposed to do? Tell me what to do with this. And I said, I think you really are who you are. And they said, put up a website. I don't think, would you like to know what my first Elohim website was, Rebecca?
I would love it.
It was called Conversations with My Girlfriend. and I didn't put my name on it. I was scared to put my name. So I was the questioner. And then there was Girlfriend X and Girlfriend Y. And Daphne just pounded me. She says, I don't like being Girlfriend X. It sounds like porn. You know, I still have that.
When? This is Barbie Anderson.
Hi, Barbie.
Hi. I'm in Mission Viejo tonight, and so I tuned in a little bit late, but I got in where you were talking about, does anyone have questions? And if I could just interject, I have really been drawn to just be with the energy of this whole thing on the nights that we do connect, because sometimes I can't actually hear it. Richard, sometimes it's hard for us to just hear, but it's being in the energy. I can't explain it. We don't even have to understand or hear, but there is a transmission of beingness in this higher vibration of energy that is ministering and uplifting and bringing about a transition. I can't explain it because I don't understand it, except that it's happening. And it's like a fireside chat type, just being together, like we're all together around a fire in a living room of some sort, where no matter where we are in the world, we are one together when we're connected here. So sometimes I can see you can, I mean, it would be hard. I can imagine it must be being in your shoes, figuring out, well, now, what am I going to tell people and how are we going to figure this out? And it's like we want to put structure to it, and maybe all the Elohim wants is just to connect with us and however each of us feels or receives it. So I know it's helping me just move into higher vibrations, creating more uplifting realities. And there's nothing that I've connected to in any website or talk show of any kind that has this elevation, that has this godlike, inspirational beingness that just feeds that spirit of moving and, you know, the love. I can't, it's hard to put into words. So sometimes just being here, even if we don't even say anything, it's just being together. It's just bringing all of that Elohim in that is just so uplifting. It's just so incredible. It's hard to put adjectives, but it's there.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. And I want to thank you all for sharing. One of the reasons is because I hope Rebecca will come back often and maybe join us on our grid healings, and we can Terry would welcome this, rotate between Rebecca and Terry when we do some of our sessions or even our Wednesday sessions, and have Rebecca answer questions. And it's I feel very comfortable with her, and it's really unusual for me. You know, I don't have that many guests on this show, And usually, I feel if I have a guest, the energy goes down to a lower level. Like I've got a inner... Hi, this is Winfrey, and we have David Icke on tonight. And David, what are the reptilians doing? You know, we don't get the energy of the oneness with guests. You know, it can be entertaining, the information, it's distracting. But to be able to do these calls 3 times a week, and for some of you, I know maybe you get tired of it and take breaks from here and there, but so many of you keep coming back, holding the energy. And I know some of you are not healthy and are having health problems, and you're learning that you may not be able to do what would appear to be big and glorious things in the world. You're not able to, but by listening in on this line, your energy is part of shifting the collective and making possibilities for things to happen in this realm that would not be possible if you weren't here. So I want you to give yourselves a pat on the back for showing up. And thank you, Barbie, for I'm calling you Barbie. Should I call you Barbie or Barbara?
That's fine. I get called everything. Barbie's fine.
Her email is UC Barbie. Did that mean
that's
you
right.
went to the... That was your because you were at the University of California, right?
Well, I did that, but it stands for Unique Concepts because it's the name of the brokerage that I established my name for, my real estate brokerage. So I'm a broker, but so it's Unique Concepts in real estate. So I don't know, somehow I'm just trying to shorten it to make it easy for life. So I just ended up with UC Barbie.
Is Richard in the background?
No, I have a home here in Orange County. I'm most of the time at Richard's in Temecula. So
right.
I'm not sure if he's even on. Are you on, Richard?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, he's there. Okay.
Hi, Richard.
Hey, Wynn.
Hi, Richard.
I'm standing up in a lemon grove in the mountains. Beautiful.
All right. You know what? It's 7:03, and they have not kicked us off of BBS yet, which means we can keep going. And what I thought would be an interesting thing to do, to have the Elohim source, if Rebecca wants to do it, if she feels comfortable, address us through Rebecca and say anything they like. And then through Terry, Rebecca, you know, we have this unusual thing where a couple of years ago, we had become quite well acquainted with the Ra group. And apparently, I am more connected, me personally, more connected to the Ra group than the Elohim group, although I'm starting to feel quite a connection to the Elohim group. And the Ra group has a different frequency. And the Ra group is... Did I talk to you about the Ra group, Rebecca?
Yes, you did.
Did you grasp who the Ra group is? Did I give a good feeling for it?
Yes, you're very good with articulating concepts and ideas.
Yes. So at what point, because we had the Ra group come individually through Terry, through Daphne, and mostly it started with the Elohim group, and the Ra group started coming in secondarily. And... I actually felt guilty about talking to the Ra group because I had become friends with Carla Ruckert, and she was the prime person that brought in the Ra group in 1981, and they said it was a very unique opportunity for them to communicate. So when they started talking to me, I said, geez, I hope Carla doesn't find out. She'll get mad at me. But nonetheless, she and I have become friends, good friends, and she's on our show once a month. Sometime we might have all four of us on a group show, Carla, you, and Terry, because each of us represents a template of energy. And when we bring this template together as a group, I know it's powerful. It brings in a lot of energies into the Earth realm just to have us all here. But if you would like, I could have your sources address us and then Terry to address us. And the source comes through Terry, says it's Ra'an, which is a combination of Elohim and Ra group, so they say. And the reason they use the word An is historically when Daphne first started, if I was to give you the history of the whole way this started for me, the first voice that came through Daphne identified itself as Ptah. And I was very much a novice. I was just asking questions, trying to figure it out. And so we had two or three conversations with Ptah. And then a voice came through Daphne that identified itself as the Council of An. And they were indicating that Ptah was kind of an emissary. So then we had a few conversations with the Council of An, and probably maybe on the sixth or seventh time we did a session, the voice came through as the Council of Elohim. And so I'm trying to figure out who's talking to me and why they're switching. And I was mistrustful because I wanted to trust one source, and suddenly I've got three different sources. And I was already on guard. I had studied enough to say it's possible to have a negative source, but they never asked anything of me. They just said, ask them questions. So then it was explained that Ptah was an emissary of the Ra group. And Ptah was much more, much less spaced out. The energy was much spaced out, much more specific, earthy answers to things. And it was Ptah that did that newspaper prediction early on with Daphne. And then when I asked about the Council of An, the Council of An was a sub-council of the Elohim that was responsible for translating the geometric language of the Elohim into the language of a location, like Earth. So they were now this is what they said. I didn't know this was true. I'm just telling you what they said. They were translating the language of the Elohim into English, and so we could understand it. And then the Council of Elohim came in, and then there was another council that came in. Let me see if I can remember. I don't remember the name. One other council that was part of the Elohim Council. And then, during that period, there was another voice that came in that said it was the Council of 12. And the Council of 12 was described as 12 very huge beings. Maybe they were 12 Elohim beings, or maybe there were some Elohim and some Ra. I can't remember. And their purpose, their function, the Council of 12, was to interface. They said there was like a cabinet, like a president with a cabinet, to make recommendations to the Elohim. And we're getting some background noise there.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
So, as I was understanding it, the Council of 12 would monitor the Earth and look for situations of high vibration here, where people were coming together in a high way and creating a highly intended group energy. And they would find those energies, and they would then petition the Elohim to to support that energy. And so, say if there's a bunch of people meditating somewhere, they might say, okay, let's bring some energy into those monks or those people meditating. Now, as that was being described to me, I asked the question and I said, why am I not, I'm bringing energy into this realm directly from the Elohim. And I'm not going through the Council of 12, or I didn't think I was. And I started to experience that there was an energy coming in when I did things. And then they said, well, the Elohim has free will choice. They're not bound to go through the Council of 12. And that what I was doing was creating great opportunities to bring their energy into this realm. So that's a little of my history. And then for the longest time, we just talked to the Elohim. Although, let me just say, when I was communicating through Daphne, there were a number of other sources that came through. And I was always a little bit apprehensive because I was afraid of negative sources. And so there were times when a voice that came through that said, this is Mother Mary, this is Archangel Michael, and I was never sure of those. I mean, I just asked questions and tried to see where it went. Another time, it was the planet Jupiter, and the Jupiter wanted to talk to us and bring good fortune. And another time, it was the solar logos. Solar logos was, if you've been listening to our calls, Solar Logos is the name for the center of our galaxy. And, of course, all these things are alive. Theoretically, you can talk to Jupiter, you can talk to the Earth, you can talk to the Sun. They all have a consciousness to them. But it gets really confusing because how do you know they are who they say they are, and how do you know they're positive, and how do you know you can trust them? So with Terry, I've never looked for any other sources, but they brought in the Ra and the An, which was the An, the Council of Elohim, An, and the Ra energy. So, would you like to do something, Rebecca?
Well,
you don't have
tonight,
to say yes. Don't be put on the spot.
Are you there?
I just wanted to say something. Rebecca, I welcome your participation.
Well, they have some messages here that they'd like to share. As you all were sitting speaking and talking, they've been chatting at me about what they would like to say. So if you give me just a second, we'll have them come in, and I'll say a few things, or they will, rather, and then they're going to step aside.
Okay.
Now, we're used to doing a little protective invocation. We've already gotten the energies, but I'm so used to doing it. People are so used to doing it. Is it okay if I do my little invocation?
Yeah, if you need to, sure.
I don't need to. If you prefer not to, we don't have to.
Fine. It's fine.
Okay. So let's just, I'll do it very quickly here. We're bringing the light of the highest realm of the universe. We bring in this light and surround and protect each person here, and we release any negativity to the higher realms of light for the highest good of all concerned. And everyone listening, everyone on the replays, we're going to invoke a group energy connection, and we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join our group energy, and we maintain the sovereign integrity of our souls, our individualities, while we do this. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to, and anything not of that nature must leave now. And I turn it over to Rebecca to bring forth communication from those sources talking about.
We are the Elohim. We have but a few things to share. From our view, from our perspective, we are embracing this meeting of all these people on this call. We are honored that you honor the energy that sits in your space. We are here to share information, to expand. To give you the understanding of what great sovereign beings you are, those of you who have remained on this reincarnation wheel for a very long time. We have always been, and we will always be. We come in the greatest of love and honor for those of you who are on this very unique journey. Sit for a moment. Allow the energies to come forward. Call them in. Allow them to take away any sickness or illness, any pain or suffering. Allow those energies to flow out. Feel the energy. Feel the vibration. Feel the frequency of wellness, of vibrancy, of health, of patience, of love. Understand you are so much more. And many of you are beginning to realize that. And as you continue to expand in this energy and this awareness, you will again reach for the stars. We love you all. We love you unconditionally. We are here. We support you. And all you need to do is ask. Blessings until next time.
Terry, are you called to say anything through you?
I'm just picking up that they are very, very happy all about this meeting, and they are really a fixing, well, sending their love. I mean, it's not sending, it's they are really loving us.
Thank you. Well, you know what? I want to just be sure that I give Rebecca a plug, journeyswithrebecca.com. And Rebecca, you do readings also, right?
Well, I don't know what was said, but there were, that was a pretty emotional space for a moment in a very high frequency.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
We felt it.
I don't usually get quite as many benefits from it as it's, but it's still here, and it's very interesting. It's very beautiful. I thank them for that. It makes me want to weep, not from sadness either. Wow. Anyway, I'm extremely grateful for all of you tonight. I really am. I do a radio show called Journeys with Rebecca. I'm on Monday through Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. Central Time. Fridays are 1 to 3 p.m. Central Time, but I also do readings. I do all kinds of different readings. I also am involved with a process that they have given me through the years in order to accelerate people's awareness in getting off of what they call the reincarnation wheel. That doesn't mean that you cease to exist. It means to be able to heal timelines, reduce trauma, rewrite kind of the past. So energetically, it literally changes the physiology of the individual going through this process. It's just been absolutely fantastic. They've been giving me the process for years, and we fine-tuned it, and with this new energy that is very, very present, extreme energy that's present these days, it allows a person to go through these things in a very quick manner, and you find that you are lifting burdens you didn't even know you were carrying. You find that relationships work better than what you ever could have thought. You are in such a heightened state of awareness once you're able to start clearing these timelines, kind of a thing. It's a really fascinating process. I do this once a month as a small class. It's an online workshop. I also do them as private sessions. I'm literally in the process of building a new website, and that should be up by the end of the week, but you can find some of the information at journeyswithrebecca.com. You can also go to RebeccaJernigan.com for additional information for readings and things like that. So, but I'm combining both of them, and hopefully by the end of this week, I should have my new website up, and it's just going to be really the bomb.
Well.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And
so intense.
Thank you for being here, and we thank our sources for being here. And
yes.
We're so grateful to have this connection. And Rebecca, you are welcome. Anytime on a Wednesday night, if you want to come on and answer some questions, you know, when people submit questions, we can rotate between you and Terry. Anytime you're on a Sunday, if you want to participate in the grid healing, figuring out a way that's comfortable for you, and I think the synergy creates more than the individual parts, always. And
absolutely.
I'm so glad to have you. I welcome you in to this new synergy that we're creating together. And on that note, I'll mute everybody.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
And any, if you want to say anything, in like goodbye.
I wish to thank everyone who's on this call tonight, and for the wonderful welcome, and the wonderful statements and sharing of their own experiences, and it's just an honorable place to be. And I wish to thank both Terry and Wynn for having me here, and I just honor each and every one of you in the spaces that we're all in. It's fantastic. Thank you again.
great.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Rebecca, for joining us. I think you're adding a very interesting dimension.
Thank you.
Yes, it really strengthens the energy to have you on.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah, we feel the energy more and more, I think.
Good. That's their goal.
Mm-hmm.
They just want it infused. Yeah. Cool. Thank you all. See how gracious you all are. Honor that. Beautiful.
Stop conference recording. Press 1. To return to your conference recording has stopped.